Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to start here and introduce our text from this place and then I'll refer to quite a bit of scripture. I won't ask you to turn there because there's a lot in this message, and then make some points about what we're seeing here. For those of you who weren't here during Sunday school, I swallowed a frog last night. Survived Sunday school, and now, thanks to the Lord's grace, believe we're going to get through the service. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse 12. The Bible says, we're right in the middle of a context here, but look, it's the last half of this verse that we really want to see. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Well, this is that season where there's a lot of gift exchange. And so giving is on our minds. And Paul says the Spirit, we've got the Spirit of God. We don't have the Spirit of the world. And he will make us to know the things that are freely given to us of God. We're going to talk about some of that today, but let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful indeed to bow before your throne. I'm very thankful, Father, to have the sufficiency of the grace of God to do the work that's before us with a messed up voice, with sinuses and whatever else is going on. Father, it's truly a blessing to be able to stand before our people and preach the words of God. I pray that you will protect my voice from further wear, and also help our folks as I'm preaching to absorb what's being said in spite of the change in voice or the change in temperament. Father, glorify yourself. Magnify your words. Honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help our students that are in the junior church and the kids that are in the nursery and the nursery workers that are helping them. Protect them. You've done that all these years. Keep them safe. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that what you impart to us through the words of God today will do two things: strengthen those of us who are saved and help us to follow what you said in the scripture. And if there's anybody here today that doesn't know Jesus, we pray through this they'll find him as their Savior. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen. Now, we're going to talk, first of all, by way of introducing this message, about those things that are freely given to us of God. No charge. Something God did for you. And just here, I'm going to give this to you. And the first thing, obviously, notably, that comes to mind is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave his Son. You know, we're so familiar with that. And now in sporting events, you know, you see John 3:16 and stuff like that, that we almost take it for granted. But many of us here have children and or grandchildren. And you realize how difficult that is to give that child as a gift. And particularly in the way that Jesus Christ was given to the world to pay for our sins and so horribly treated at the cross of Calvary. But he did it nonetheless, knowing what he was doing, and God gave his Son. And his Son gave his life. When Jesus Christ was instructing the disciples about service, he set himself as an example, and he said to them, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister," listen, "and to give his life, a ransom for many." He gave his life. You know, we honor people in this country to this day, thankfully, who give their lives in service to the country as first responders and as soldiers. And we hold them in high regard and good esteem because of the sacrifice that they've made. Imagine Jesus Christ giving his life. I was talking between the services with Cody, and he was saying, right there are people mocking him, jeering and wagging their tongues. and making false accusations against him. And he gave himself for them. You know, the centurion that was standing guard over him said after Jesus Christ died, "Truly, this was the Son of God. You're going to see that man in heaven." That's a remarkable thing. And he's the guy that was responsible, among others, for his death. He gave his life. Then, so God gave his son, his son gave his life, and his son gives eternal life. Eternal life. When Jesus Christ is talking about the relationship between him and his sheep, he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Do you understand? You've heard me preach on it off and on lately, more so than ever before. And I guess because I'm older and have matured some in my faith and walk with the Lord, this thing of eternal life is awesome. Because it's our current possession. I have it right now. He said, "I give you eternal life." Immediately, the glory of that is, it takes the pressure off about your destination. And that's just a wonderful thing. You just don't have to worry about that anymore. And you don't really have to worry about death. I know, living in flesh, if you have some kind of an ailment that could take your life, you're going to fight against it. That's understandable. We do that. But the nice thing about that is if you lose the battle, you don't lose the life. You're going to live forever. Wow, what a tremendous thing. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So God gave his Son gave his life, and I now have his Son, Jesus Christ, living in me, and by virtue of that, his eternal life. And you do too if you've trusted him as your Savior. What a tremendous thing. So you get fellowship with Jesus Christ all the time. When you sleep, when you're awake, he's always with you. So obviously, with those simple things said, if you're here today without Jesus Christ, I really say to you this. You need to receive him. I already did. I had somebody that came up between the services and handed me some money. I don't know why in the world he did that for. No, Christmas. Merry Christmas. I haven't even looked at it yet, but it's thick. No. You know what? I didn't even hesitate. I just... Thank you. Which is what he expected me to do and wanted me to do. And but here, what am I saying? I'll be at the back door when the service is over. No, what I'm saying is, he gave that gift hoping that I would take it without hesitation. And God gave you his son hoping he would take him without hesitation. Just take him. He died for you. Already paid for your sins. He rose from the dead. The eternal life is right. Just receive him. Why? Because as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Born again. Wow. You know, the first time when I was 15 years old, I heard about this gift. I was in a boarding school and we had a chaplain. So I went to the chaplain after the meeting and I said, "I want that. I recognize that's a good deal. I want that. And I'm going to tell you something. I got that." And I recommend that to you too. Listen, if somebody was giving out gifts and I knew about it and I liked you, I'd say, "You know what? You ought to go see so-and-so. He's giving out gifts. You ought to go see God. He's giving out the gift of eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ." But you know, after you receive Jesus Christ, there are so many other gifts that are attached to that man. Because he gives us wisdom. I don't know about you, but I need wisdom. And I need it every day. And he said, if you lack wisdom, ask God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Means he won't fuss with you about it. He gives you wisdom. The Bible says, out of his mouth cometh wisdom. What a wonderful thing. He'll give you grace. This morning I text Randy somewhat to put him on notice, but more importantly to get him to pray, and I said, I need help. I swallowed a frog, and I need prayer, and they've been praying. And you know what? Today, I'm standing here giving you this sermon because, as I told Randy, I said, you know, I could ask you to preach or teach, but I believe the Lord gave me this to give to you. And so he's given me the grace in an infirmity to be able to stand here and do this because he said, my grace is sufficient for thee. He gives you power, love, and a sound mind. I know some of you really need that sound mind thing, by the way. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That's a gift. That's a gift. You know, when people are, our society is scared. They're scared all over the world. We just got back from a place where they live in fear. And he said, well, I didn't give that to you. I gave you power. I gave you love. I gave you a sound mind. Well, he gives you provision. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Wow. And my needs are met. And I know who met them. The Lord God. He gives you the Holy Spirit. You know, he gives you, there's several places where you realize he's given you the Holy Spirit, but he said, I'll send you another comforter. He said, you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. How much more should my Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Man, when you get Jesus Christ, you get the Spirit of God. Well, you talk about plugging into some power now. And with the Spirit, the comforter, you get spiritual gifts. In other words, God has something he wants you to do, but he doesn't expect you to use your own ability to get it done. He gives you a gift. Isn't that something? Gives you a gift and says, use this for my glory. I look back there in the Old Testament. He's been doing this all along. I look back there in the Old Testament. Here's a little guy named Joseph. What is he? The 11th child of Jacob. And his brothers don't like him because his dad really loves him. You know, the favorite child. Do you grow up with somebody like that? You weren't the favorite child, somebody else was? Like, hey. Yeah, that was Joseph. You know what God gave him? God gave him wisdom and understanding. And he spent all those years in prison, but one day when Pharaoh needed a dream interpreted, Joseph came up and he didn't take credit for himself. There's a God in heaven. He'll tell you what the answer to this thing is. Gave the interpretation. He told the king, you know what you really ought. This is a jailbird talking to the king. And he says, you know what you really ought to do is get a man of wisdom and appoint him over this thing. And Pharaoh says, you the man. And that's a gift. Bezalel and Aholiab are two Old Testament names. Those are the guys that were gifted to make everything for the tabernacle out in the wilderness. And they were so gifted they could actually teach other men to do the same thing, and they had help to do it. Spiritual gifts. Not only that, but he gives you spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. I know me, and I know what the spiritual fruit is, and I'm going to guarantee you this boy needed every bit of it. It fits every weakness that I have. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. God said, it's all yours. It's a gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to do double back flips to get it. You don't have to give more than the next guy to have more of it. Just boom, there. Spiritual fruit. On top of that, he gives you, I mean, you say, how long are we going to go on with this? Long as I'm up here. No. He gives us strength. He gives us help. He gives us safety. He gives us mercy. He gives us joy. He gives us rest. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Man, our folks need rest in this world. Comfort, assurance, don't worry about it. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Assurance. He gives you the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, thanks be unto God, who giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. I like to be on the winning side. You know, your teams are going to the playoffs now, and You're all biting your fingernails off about who's going to win and whether my team wins. My team wins. Your team wins. We got the victory in Jesus Christ. And then the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, he says, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I remember when I went to school, the Presbyterian started the school that I was going to, but there was that from the Westminster, whatever that was, says on the back, it says, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. And he gives you the riches to be able to enjoy him. Richly give us all things to enjoy. He gave us his word, John 17:14. He gives us the kingdom of God. He gives us an inheritance. I just look at this and I say, what more could you want? You're loaded with all the things that God gave you when he gave you his son and gave you eternal life. Now I want to ask you a question. That's just, I'd love to brag on God and just have that be the whole message and just say, amen, glory to God, let's go to the house. But there's a point here to what we've talked about. And that's this. Have you ever received something from somebody and it was really nice and you felt compelled to reciprocate a gift? Yeah, I'm seeing heads nod all around there. You're like, I hope I didn't forget anybody now. You know, Christmas Day, you don't want to receive a gift. Oh, man, I should have given so-and-so a gift. Yeah, we're like that. It's called reciprocal giving. Often when somebody gives you a gift, you're inclined to reciprocate. You may already have. They're good friends. You already know there's going to be, what do we call it? Gift exchange, right? A lot of people even in companies, they'll have that. Sometimes in large families, they'll say, we'll do a gift exchange. And it's really nice when they finally say, okay, you don't have to buy it for everybody. We're just going to pick names. Anyway, but that's reciprocal giving. Well, I'm going to ask you a question. After all that Jesus Christ has given us, what could you give him in return? Do you ever think about that? After all that he's given us, what could you give him in return? Well, I suppose there are a number of things, but I see in the Bible four things very clearly. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23 and look at verse 26. I'll show you one right here. Proverbs 23, verse 26. All this that he's given you, if you decided that you wanted to reciprocate his giving, what could you give him? Proverbs 23:26 says one thing you could do. Now, when you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a child of God, so he is your father and you are his son. He's talking to you in verse 26. Proverbs 23, verse 26, he says, my son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. Oh, you can give him your heart. You really could. You know, when you read through Proverbs and you see the son giving his father his heart, it is for a purpose. It's so that his father can instruct him. It's so that his father can impart wisdom to him. He says, observe my ways. It's so that his father can impart knowledge to him. It's so that his father can impart understanding to him. You know, it's a wonderful thing to walk with God, read the words of God, be in fellowship with the Spirit of God, and then be able to see something that's going on in life, and the person is lost or saved, and know from God's wisdom what the root problem is that you're seeing here. Well, the root concern is, it's wonderful in your own life when you are encountering a decision to know that when you've given your heart to the Lord, he has given you wisdom and understanding and knowledge and instruction that goes with that so you know how to make the right decision. You know, just thinking about so many things in life, but as men or women progress through a company, for instance, and then they're in upper management. They get there, and all this that they have learned goes through their thinking now whenever they're making decisions for the company because They have wisdom. You know, they've learned all that. God said, give me your heart. I want to teach you some things you don't know. Now, eternal life, very different than the life in this world. The life in this world, you can learn a lot. You can get a lot of wisdom. You can get instruction. You can learn how to live here. But eternal life is something that the world cannot instruct you. God has to instruct you how to live that life. And more importantly, how to enjoy that life. And as I've said recently, and I'll say again, if our young families and our young adults would really understand the fullness of that gift of eternal life and all that wisdom and instruction and understanding and knowledge that comes from God, they wouldn't easily be pulled by the world into these vain and worthless things. We'd be like, wow, this is the stuff. And your peers, unless they're Christians, aren't going to reinforce this. Why? You got to be careful not to let your heart go with your peers or with the world. Your heart simply and totally given to God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a young person? Even a gray-headed person. That's why we're preaching to all of you today. I'm going to say, Lord, I'm going to give you my heart absolutely for fellowship, for love, for those things to observe your ways, because I want to enjoy the full benefits of your eternal life. Give him your heart. Here's another thing. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. What can you give the Lord? Give him your heart. My son, give me thine heart. Boy, if he knew, listen, if God knew he wasn't competing, if God knew he wasn't competing for affection in your heart, well, you and God get along real well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, begin reading with me in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit that the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. What they did, just give you a little history here. They made a decision in the churches of Macedonia to help the church back in Jerusalem because there were a lot of poor saints there. But when they began to collect the offering for the saints in Jerusalem, they went through trouble. Their stock market crashed. They were in deep poverty. But they had abundance of joy, and it abounded to the riches of the liberality. So they came up with a good gift anyway, in spite of the fact that they probably needed it more than the saints in Jerusalem did. And it was a testimony in verse 1 to the grace of God. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God. So Paul goes on to say, for to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. You can imagine Paul saying, man, you guys need it worse than they do. Just keep it. He said, no, you're going to take it. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hope, watch it, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Here's the second thing you can give him. You can give him yourself. Give him your body. Give God. I mean, look at all he's given you, right? Give him your heart. Give him your body. Why? Because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost after you get saved. You're bought with a price. You're not your own. And so, you say, but I don't know if I want to do that. Do you know something? The designer knows how to take better care of the body than the occupier does. He really does. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. He knows how you tick. He knows how you run. And he knows how to get the best out of his product. But you got to let him have it. We'll tell people sometimes when we're talking to them about getting saved. I had a guy ask me one time. He says, now wait a minute. You're telling me that salvation is a free gift? Absolutely. Jesus already died in your place. He already paid for your sins. He's willing to give you himself and give you eternal life. All you have to do is receive him. And it's like, there has to be a hitch. I said, well, there is a hitch. Not for getting saved. But the Lord's willing to do that for you for this reason. He wants control. He wants you to give him your body after you get saved so he can run it. Well, you know how most people are. They don't want somebody telling them what to do. You learn that when you're about 2 days old. But just like you know what's best for your infant child, God knows what's best for his child. And he knows how to make it run. That's why Paul said, he said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, watch it, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know what I did this morning? I got my keys off the little key rack there in the laundry room, pushed the garage door opener, it opened, I walked out to my truck, hit the little key bob, the door's unlocked, got inside of it, pushed the button and started running. And my truck did exactly what I wanted it to do today. It drove me here. God wants that same relationship with you. You get up in the morning, just hit the key bob and let's go for a ride. But you have to present your body to him as a living sacrifice so he can do for you what he wants to do. I am amazed at missionaries on the mission field who understand this principle. They don't go over there because they can't think of anything better to do in the States or they're trying to gain some recognition. They go over there because they gave their heart and their bodies to God. And God said, I want you over there. They've endured all kinds of hardships and they're still there. You say, how? God did it. God did it. You say, well, they had to endure some hardships. You know something? I want to ask you a question. When do you get closer to God? On the mountaintop or down in the valley? Come on now. Come on now. Yeah, I know. You don't want to say that and come out of here and, oh, Lord, I said valley and look at me today. But it's true. You know, God brings people oftentimes to the end of their own abilities, particularly on the mission field. He brings them to the, well, look at it. It's right here. Look at verse 3. To their power I bear them record, yea, look at it, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. God takes you beyond your power for two reasons. Number one, so you and everybody else know God did it. And for the other, his power is more than your strength. It's when you're weak that you're strong. So he says, just give me your body. I'll be with you the whole way. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So just, I like what one man said. He was successful in the ministry. He said it was like you pulling up to the pump in a Cadillac, you know, with the Lord sitting in the driver's seat and say, come on, man, give me some power. It's like you wanted to take that, what's a big engine, a bunch and make it bigger. You really want to rev it up. You're already going cool. He says, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord wants to be in the driver's seat. Put you in the passenger seat. And then that guy said, I think I told you this recently. He said, I don't even want you in the passenger seat. I want you in the back seat. You're liable to reach over and grab the wheel. He said, I don't even want you in the back seat because you'll be back there telling me how to drive this thing. Get in the trunk. I know what I'm doing. There's a lot of truth to that. Well, you're in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 right here. You know what Paul said, by the way? Paul said, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a man who turned it all over to God, and so you can have every bit of it. My life is tied up with you, and when you're done with it, I die. You say, that's a big thing to give. Didn't he give his life for you? That was the beginning of this relationship. You know, what could we give him? You know, if we wanted to reciprocate with God on all these wonderful things, we give him our heart, we give him our body. You know what else you could do? You give him your riches. Say, oh, preacher, I knew it was getting down to that, getting down to the end of the year. Well, I know you need a tax write-off. No, I'm just kidding. People always get funky when you get to this. But look what happens here. You know, they gave bountifully in verse 2, abounded under the riches of their liberality. But what was that all about? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verses 6 and 7. What was this all about? they understood something. Paul said, "This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." That's true in the law of the land. It's true of the law of the soil. You put a sprig here and a sprig there and a sprig there, you don't get much. You line it up and put in as much as you can in the thing, within reason, and you have a bountiful harvest. That's the law of the soil. It's also the law of the soul. The law that you give to the Lord sparingly, you reap sparingly. You give bountifully, and he returns it to you bountifully. And we're not talking about prosperity preaching here. We're talking about a principle with God. Look at verse 7. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity." Why? "For God loveth a cheerful giver." You're a parent, many of you, or you know parents, and you have close association with nephews and nieces, however it may go. So you understand this thing, and you know when a parent is instructing a child and setting an example. The Lord said, "Observe my ways." When that child performs that he's been trained, boy, it puts a big smile on dad's face. You know, if he's a coach and he says, "Kick the ball this way," or "Run with the ball that way," or "Hit the ball that way," and he really works with his child, and his child goes out and he does it that way, dad's over on the sideline beaming. "Yeah, I showed him how to do that." God's the same way. He led out in this thing. He said, "Let me show you how to give. Give him a life." God said, "I'm giving my son. I'm giving you all these spiritual gifts. I want you to understand," he says, "that my makeup is giving." You ought to see how many times the word give shows up in your Bible. It's just that, well, that's God's nature. And you know, on many things, God has no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. He'll let anybody get saved. He gives rain on the just and the unjust. He gives bread to all. Everybody breathing got their breath from God. He's no respecter of persons. He is a giver. And he says, "You know what? I want you to follow me on that." And he says, and the neat thing about it is, while I'm up there in the precipice of heaven and sitting there in my throne looking over, I recognize when I see good giving. So here's Jesus, and just to let you know, there's Jesus Christ on the earth. He's not now long from his death. He's in the temple, and you know, there's all kind of chaos going on. You talk about distraction. They're trying to catch things out of his mouth. They're preparing for his death. They're selling stuff in the temple they're not supposed to be doing. His disciples are getting ready to scatter. He's just got a few more moments with them to kind of give them some instruction. There's a lot going on. They're hanging out in the temple, and the Lord says to his disciples, "Hey, who gave the greatest gift?" "We don't know." He said, "See that widow woman walking out the door right there? She did. She put in 2 mites." She said, "Well, that's nothing. It's a couple pennies, a couple of nickels." "Yeah, but she gave all her living." And do you know that's what God did? He gave all of his living. He gave all of his life. I think when that widow woman got to heaven, I imagine there was a real special love between her and the Lord. Just like when that woman came and wiped the feet of Jesus with her hair in the Pharisee's house, he says, "Those that are forgiven much love much." I imagine the real deep love between her and the Lord, because she was willing to give of her riches. The Lord even said, "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." But he said, "Look, don't worry. People, you get so worried. You watch the stock market going up and down, and you check your 401k, and you're worried about your bills." And he said, "I understand that. Gentiles do that," he told us. That's what we do, and we're Gentiles, and that's what we do. But he said, "Take no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." And when it came to giving, he said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you." Yeah, good measure, pressed down, running over, shaken together, shall men give into your bosom. But with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. You give a little bit, I'll use that measure. You want to give more, I'll use that measure. So this isn't for us. You know, I always tell you when we broach the subject of giving, the nice thing to be able to say to you is, and you'll see at the annual meeting next month when we talk about these matters, Our needs are met. We're not trying to raise money. We're trying to get you into a better relationship with the Lord if that's what needs be. He's given you so much. He said, I'll tell you what, I take notice. God loveth you. I take notice when you follow my lead and observe my way. What could you give him in return for what he's given you? Your heart? You don't have to. He gave you all these things free of charge. But you wanted to reciprocate your heart, your body, your riches. What else could you give him? Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. He says, just like giving your body as a sacrifice, giving this as a sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 13, look at verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, speaking of Jesus Christ, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving. Giving what? Thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, look at that, God is well pleased. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know what you could give him? You could give him thanks. And here's the reason it's so important. God's taken such good care of us, we get spoiled. And forget. I was reading an article yesterday or the day before from a professional athlete in basketball talking about professional athletes in the National Football League. I just caught the headline in the first paragraph and I had all of it I wanted to stand. That athlete was talking about how poorly the owners take care of their athletes in NFL. And I was like, you got to be kidding. We preach, minister to souls. You know, it's like a friend of mine said after I left the bank to go into the ministry, he came to me and he says, what are you going to preach? I said, the truth. He said, you're not going to make any money with that. God takes real good care of his children. But I thought to myself, you know what's wrong with that guy that said what he said? He's spoiled. And you know, we can become that way. God has been so good to us. He's done so much for us. And at the least little anxiety, we're like, come on, God, what's going on here? Don't you love me or what? He's like, well, what about all those years I've been doing all this good stuff for you? Where's my thanksgiving? Now, he doesn't say that because of his long-suffering and forbearance. But he says, I'll tell you what, if you want to do something, if you want to reciprocate, why don't you just thank me? Your praise and thanks, that's what you can give him. Now, honestly, you know, there are a lot of times people give you a gift and they are not looking for something in return. They really don't want you to reciprocate. And the reason is they didn't give it to you so they could get something from you. They gave it to you because they love you. That's the best kind. But you know what really makes them feel good? Well, depending on who you are, it might be the shopping. The shopping might make you really feel good. It's kind of retail therapy, like, whoa, I love this. I wonder, oh, I bet so-and-so could use this. I mean, just because they like shopping. Okay, but you know what really makes them feel good? Is when you put it in their hand and they open it up and they go, wow, this is just what I wanted. Thank you. That right there does more for your heart than any other part of the exercise because they appreciate what you did for them. I was talking to Dennis Wells after his wife died. He'd been a widower for maybe a month. He spent many years on the mission field in Papua New Guinea. His wife served right along with him. Came back to Idaho to help be missions director there with Brother DeMichael, and his wife got sick and died. I happened to be up there, like I said, about a month later. We're talking, and he was telling me things that are helping to minister to his grief. And he says, you know what? It's always good to do something for somebody else. That really ministers to my grief, but he said, it's really good to do something for somebody else when they appreciate it. When they appreciate it. Give him your thanks. Thank him every day. Because there are a lot of things going, as you heard in the beginning of this message, that God's doing for you. That we take for granted. And God's up there supplying this all day and all night, every day of our lives. Give him your praise and give him your thanks. Now listen, We've got some of you that are visiting with us today. Maybe you've been here for a while, and it's true. Maybe you haven't received Jesus Christ yet. Maybe what you did is a religious practice. You did what somebody told you to do in religion, and you did that thinking, I got to check that box. Now listen, receiving Jesus Christ is just like receiving any other gift. He's made himself available to you. You cut out all the religious nonsense, and you just simply say, if you're giving yourself to me, I'm taking you. Recently, a fellow got saved, and here's how he prayed. Lord, I'm taking you into my life. Take me into yours. There's something real good about that. Take me into yours. Listen, if you haven't received Jesus Christ, you know what you ought to do? Receive him today. There's a gift available for you right now. And there's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to reciprocate. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. Just receive Jesus Christ. But I look around here and I realize the great vast majority of you have already received Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe all of you. If you've received Jesus, then look, give him the things that he desires that he's shown us here. Those things that he desires most from those to whom he's given eternal life. Your heart, your body, your riches, and your thanks. Wonderful. He's well pleased with those sacrifices. Father, thank you today for an opportunity to preach the Word of God. And thank you once again, Lord. Through this teaching today and preaching today, the sinuses didn't crater. So often they drain to the back and cough and sputter. You spared all that, and the drop stayed in till it dissolved, and Kay didn't have to pick it up. And Lord, we're just thankful. You just do a lot of good things for us. And you've really shown us a lot of wonderful things about how much you've given us. Help us, Father, not to be so spoiled, but to recognize there are some things we can give to reciprocate that would be received by you and would be a blessing, because it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. We don't like to put pressure on people. We sure don't want to let you leave here without an opportunity to receive Jesus Christ. You're here today and you haven't received Jesus Christ and you know it. The Holy Spirit made it plain to you. And you also recognize you can receive him today. Listen, we've done this in a way that makes it very good for you. Our associate pastor, Randy Knupple, and his wife, Maureen Knupple, are in the back of the church. Randy's up. He's looking with me. They will gladly show you a couple more scriptures to answer any question you have. Give you the opportunity today to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ right now. You're here today without Jesus Christ and you know it. Would you like to receive him today? If you would you simply raise your hand right now and put it right back down? Randy and Maureen will gladly visit with you and show you so simply how to be saved through Jesus Christ. Do you want eternal life? Do you want to receive Jesus Christ? Wow, what a great gift. Anybody here like that today? Just raise your hand, put it right back down. All right. You're here today and you're saved. Now, if you're not saved and we've given you this opportunity, that's not like your last chance. But listen, you need to seriously consider these things. You don't want to go out into eternity without Christ. You're here today and you've already been saved. But you really haven't been very reciprocal with all that Jesus Christ has done for you. Got kind of spoiled. Take this up with him now while we sing the hymn of invitation and get that thing back on track. Let him have your heart and your body and your riches and your thanks. Boy, I'll tell you, you and he will have a great, great relationship together. Father, help us to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.